How's everyone doing this beautiful Sunday morning? Yeah. All right. It's a good thing to be happy in church, right? Amen. Not everyone can say that. You guys excited for the new year? Amen. How many would say maybe? You were there last week for that sermon. I know that I probably ruined Happy New Year forever for you. Maybe. But this morning, I have a word from the Lord for you guys. And I believe also that the word that's about to be spoken this morning is not just going to be for you as it was for me, but it's for this entire church. If you call Forward Fellowship your home church, if you call me your pastor, would you show me your hands right now and show me, okay? This message is for you guys as well. Let's pray. Father, I just open up first and foremost with prayer, because without you, we're lost. With you, all things are possible. With you, Lord, we can just scale the mountains, or the word says. Father, we're in this place this morning. We're starting this new year. And for some already, it's not a happy new year. It's a confusing, scary, discouraging year. Father, for others, it's a year of what's next? What are you going to do in my life? So, Father, as we open up this brand new year in this beautiful church that you've given us, preach now, Lord, and use me. I'm nothing but just your vessel. So speak to our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys ready for the first word of God this 2019? All right, it's a good one. Come on, give God some praise this morning. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 7. We're going to do some reading here. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 7, and I'm going to go to verse 24. The Word of God says, "And the flood waters," talking about Noah, "the flood waters covered the earth for 150 days. I want you to notice this, because when we look at the story of Noah, we get so caught up in 40 days, 40 days of rain. But the Bible says the water covered the earth for 150 days. Chapter 8 now. "But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and livestock with him on the boat. And he sent a wind to blow across the earth, and the floodwaters began to recede. The underground water stopped flowing, and the torrential rains from the sky, well, they stopped. So the floodwaters gradually receded from the earth. And after 150 days, exactly 5 months from the time of the flood began, the boat came to rest on the mountain of Ararat. 2.5 months later, as the waters continued to go down on the mountain peaks, they became visible." Saying, "Pastor, what am I hearing now? What am you going to preach about this morning?" Can we go back to 8 verse 1? "But God remembered Noah." Did you guys get that? "And God remembered Noah." Does that imply that God can forget us? No. I'll explain in a moment. But the Bible says God, say it with me, remembered Noah. Say it. Point to your neighbor. First time 2019, hit your neighbor and say, "He remembers you." And God remembered Noah. It's crazy to me that when I read this verse, this is the one verse that I said, "Lord, wow. God remembered Noah." I want to preach this morning to someone, in fact, all of us here or online, on the subject, "He hasn't forgotten you." He hasn't forgotten you. There are moments in our lives as though we feel like God has completely forgotten you. So when I read this passage, I said, "Lord, what did it mean for you to say you remember Noah?" I mean, in my sick, sinful imagination, I'm human, I really started imagining like God in heaven talking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the angels and God saying, I feel like I forgot something. And Jesus is like, yeah, I have that feeling too. And all the billions of angels, yeah, what? And God's like, Noah! Oh my gosh, I forgot Noah! And Noah's on the ark, you forgot me! Does God really forget? Does an omniscient, all-knowing God forget? And the church says, no. What does it mean when the Bible says God remembered? I want to open up with this statement here. I know the Bible says by faith Noah built an ark. And I admire Noah for that. I say, man, Noah, that is awesome. God spoke to you and he talked about something you've never seen before. It was called rain. And he says, Noah, I want you to build a boat in the middle of the desert because rain is coming. He's like, what's rain? It's like water falling from the sky. What? That's crazy. Water doesn't fall from the sky. It will. So much so, you're going to need a boat. But don't worry, Noah. I got the blueprints. The Bible tells us in Genesis that God instructed Noah exactly how to build the ark. So I said, wow, awesome. It took faith, but that wasn't where the faith was really tested. Because, you know, does it really take a lot of faith if God is instructing you one day at a time? No, yes, kind of. How many of you would rest easier if God literally said, this is what you have to do, this is how you're going to do it, this is what's going to happen, when this happens, do it like this, and you'll be fine. Wouldn't you rest a little more if God every day woke up and gave you instructions for today? Yeah. So I said, wait a minute, okay, I know it took faith to build the ark, but Lord, it didn't take that much faith. Did he just say that? Yes. It didn't take that much faith because God told him how to do it. It wasn't like God just says, build an ark. How? Figure it out. God gave him instructions. God even told him, it's going to rain for 40 days. So Noah knew not only what to expect, but he also knew how to do it. So where was the real faith tested? When the rain stopped. See, we don't see this in the story of Noah when we read it, because we're so caught up in the rain for 40 days. That we forget the part that the Bible says for 150 days, he drifted. See, God was speaking to him. This is how you're going to build the ark. You've got to screw it this way. Use this wood. Paste it with this. Do this. Do that. Awesome. And then God went silent for 150 days. The rain stopped, and one of the things I want to point out is that in that ark and the instructions, God never said, build a steering wheel and a rudder, because Noah had no direction. It wasn't for Noah to control that ark. It was for him to just sit in a box, because that's what an ark was, and float. See, that's where I said, that's the faith. To see that God is silent and he's put you in this box to drift for 150 days and God is saying and doing nothing. Now, doesn't that take greater faith? And it doesn't stop there. The Bible says 150 days. God, I'm still drifting! Is he saying anything? No! Still quiet! Where are we going, Dad? I don't know! Shut up! Honey, are you lost? I don't even have a steering wheel, woman! How can I be lost when I'm not in control? Get back with the giraffes! 150 days! Drifting. Maybe today we'll get a sign from God. No. I can't imagine Forward Fellowship in a box for 150 days floating. We'd be killing each other, eating the animals, doing everything crazy. And then the Bible gets even harder for me to read this, but the Bible says, then the ark rested on the mountain. At that point, it was 220 days. And God said, rested. I said, no, it is stuck. But God doesn't say stuck. He says rest. Stop saying this year, 2019, stop saying I'm stuck in this job, this marriage, this place. Because God says, I don't see it as stuck, I see it as resting. From a human point of view, I would have said, no, God, stuck. And God says, no, resting. Why did God use the word rest and not stuck if it's stuck? Because it ain't stuck to God, it's just resting. Why? Because if it's stuck, you have anxiety. If it's resting, you have peace. So God says, if you feel like you're stuck, I see you resting, you need to relax and have peace. So now we're on day 220 in a box that's gone from drifting to stuck. Sorry, resting. Now it's day number 267. How many of you are losing your mind already? You see, you thought it was just 40 days. It's over. 267 days. You guys can't even handle 3 hours to Orlando with your family. Imagine this family, 267 days. And Noah lets out a raven. And the raven doesn't even come back. He's like, bye. And on day number 274, he lets out a dove. The dove comes back and says, no. Doesn't say it, but implies it. Comes back with nothing. So God was telling him there, nothing. You feel like that? God just is telling you nothing? Showing you nothing? I'm there. Let's go to day number 309. No, let's skip 309 because now it's day number 378. And God spoke and said, now leave the ark. Don't get so caught up in the 40 days of rain that you miss the 378 days of God doing nothing, saying nothing, the 378 days of silence. Let's be honest. Could you handle that? Do you see where the faith was really tested? It wasn't in God saying, do this, do that, I'll instruct you, I'll help you. No, it was that when God said, close that door of the ark for 378 days, God went dark and silent. And Noah just had to drift and get stuck and wait on God. Do you know that we, like Noah, we're going to go through seasons as a church. You're going to go through seasons as individuals. where you feel like you're drifting. Isn't that the worst, when you're drifting and nothing gets permanent in your life? I meet people that are, maybe you're drifting from church to church because you can't find a church that feels like family. Thank God you're at Forward. But anyway, you're drifting from church to church. You can't find anything. That's stressful. Some of you are drifting from job to job and you can't find purpose. Some of you are drifting from relationships to relationships and you can't find something permanent. There are a lot of young students drifting from major to major, not knowing what God wants for them to do in their life. You ever feel like, God, I'm just drifting and I don't know where I'm going. There's no rudder. There's no steering wheel. I have no direction and I'm just wandering. Noah drifted. You know, the Israelites drifted. God had a promise for them. God had a purpose for them. But the Bible shows us that the first generation of the Israelites, they drifted for 40 years. And nothing. How do you handle the moments in your life that God just has you drifting? You know, this is a new year, so I started reading the Bible from the beginning again. And I laugh every time I come across the story of Adam. And the Bible says that Adam, well, he drifted. You're like, where did he say that? Listen, the Bible says that Adam began to name all the animals and not a suitable helper was found. So as I started thinking, I said, wait a minute, you mean to tell me that while he was naming the animals, he was actually looking for a wife because he felt something was missing? That's funny. Because how many of you feel like you're just dating animals? He's like, imagine how that conversation went with God and Adam. How'd it go on your date? She's too old. She's a real cougar. And you know that date I had with the horse, I don't think she was into me. She had a real long face the whole time. And that octopus, talk about clingy. And then this turtle. I mean, she just wanted to take things really slow. And this elephant had too much baggage. She literally had a trunk. And then there was this chameleon. I know she was lying to me. She was pretending to be something else. Maybe I'll go on a date with that owl. She was a real hoot. And God just tells Adam, Adam, stop looking. Just rest. You guys got that? The Bible says, Adam, not one suitable helper was found. If you're trying to find something, it implies you're looking. But you're drifting because you can't find anything. And the Bible says God caused him to rest. Woke up and bam, there she was. Maybe you just, this year should be the year of rest for you and let God just, bam, bring it to you. But see, all of us go through seasons that we're just drifting. But then there's the other group of people that you're not just drifting now. You feel as though you're just stuck. And nothing's happening. At least when you're drifting, things are changing, you're moving, you're seeing something. But when you're stuck, it's the same thing every day. And the Bible says that it rested. The truth is, it was stuck. But God said, no, you're not stuck, Noah. Just resting. Could you trust God when He just stops moving you and causes you to just rest? Some of you, you don't even know what rest is. Because you always feel like God has to be moving. And God has to be speaking. And God has to be doing something. Can I tell you, even when you're at a season of rest, God is still working? Because the Bible says, while that ark was resting, the water was coming down. So it shows you that Noah couldn't see it, but while he was resting, stuck, whatever you want to call it, God was working. Could you just honestly say to yourself, God, you don't have to talk to me all the time. God, you don't have to show me all the time. You don't have to act all the time. God, if you would just put me to rest and say and do nothing, God, I promise I'll still trust you. We're addicted to the movement of God. God has to move. God has to speak. Do you expect God to move in every church service you go to? You're addicted. Because God wants you to have the ability to handle the years of rest and silence. Hey, let's be honest. As a church, show me your hands right now if you're in a season of rest. Meaning, God is doing nothing in your life. If you're in a season of rest, you have to understand that God is still God. God is still working. Noah could do nothing. Can I tell you that God's going to put you in that place where you can do nothing about what you're going through? Nothing about that person. That child, that job, that problem, that health crisis, nothing but rest. I love it because honestly speaking, the Bible says God caused Adam to rest, meaning he had to force him to rest. Some of you are that anxious, God has to force you to rest to the point that he puts you in a season where you could do nothing right now but wait on him. But here's the good news. Go back to chapter 8, verse 1. But God remembered Noah. It doesn't imply that God forgot him. You're going to see this phrase hundreds of times throughout the Bible. And God remembered Jacob. And God remembered Israel. And God remembered Noah. That phrase, God remembered, means to have in mind and be in faithfulness. You understand that whatever you're going through right now, no matter how stuck you may feel, no matter how God has you resting and he's showing and doing nothing in your life, no matter what you're going through right now, according to the word of God, he promises that right now, this very second, through sickness, through crisis, through marriage, divorce, struggle, finances, whatever it is you're going through, I promise you, and according to what this says, God has you in mind. He's thinking about you right now, and he is faithful. Well, it doesn't feel like it. But it doesn't stop it from being true. God hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten me. He hasn't forgotten this church. God says right now, you're stuck. I call it resting. You're resting. You're not going to see me working. You're not going to hear me speaking. You're not going to see me showing you everything. But I promise you, you're in my mind. And I'm faithful that behind the scenes, outside of this box I put you in, I'm working for you. And I haven't forgotten you. You know that Satan wants you to feel as though you have been forgotten by God? Because when you feel forgotten, you feel abandoned. And when you feel abandoned, you run to something else. And Satan's greatest priority is to get you away from God. So if he wants you to get away from God, he has to convince you that God has abandoned you. And in order for him to convince you God has abandoned you, he has to to say, hey, you know God forgot you, right? I'll prove it to you. Why did the nation, the first generation of Israelites, why did they run and build an altar and a calf to worship? Because some wise guy in the crowd said, Moses forgot about us. God has forsaken us. Moses hasn't come back yet. They couldn't even rest. So they convinced themselves, God must have left us out here and abandoned us, and he forgot us. Run! Let's build another God! And some of you feel so abandoned, you're running to something else. That's why you're in trouble all the time. And then Moses comes back. And everyone's just raving and dancing in front of this cow, butt naked. And Moses is like, what the, what? After a great worship experience too, he comes back. Just picture that. What happened? Why are you doing this? The people said, we thought you forgot about us. Can you imagine if that's a picture of God, that he finally comes into your life, he finally answers, he finally shows up, and when he looks at you, you've made a mess of your life because you thought he forgot you? I thought you forgot me, so I ran to this relationship that I don't belong in. I thought you abandoned me, so I ran to this substance and an addiction that gives me pleasure for a moment because I thought you forgot about me. God, I thought you forgot about me, so I ran to this sin and I messed up my life. God will look at you and says, I never forget about you. You're always on my mind. I'm always faithful. But we're human. Even David, a man after God's own heart, Superman Dave, man, he's an awesome, godly man. Psalm 13, verse 1. Lord, how long will you what? Forget me. I know I'm anointed. You said I'd be king, but God, I never saw the caves and the desert and the betrayal and the loneliness. And God, if I can be honest with you, I want to know, how long do you keep on intending to forget about me? Forever? Because doesn't it feel like God has put you in a situation that will never change and be the same forever? Forever is a lie of the enemy. Forever. You'll be broke forever. You're going to be single forever. You're going to be in this place, this job forever. This person is never going to change forever, forever, forever. He said, God, how long? A man after God's own heart was so honest to get real with God and say, how long am I going to be in this? How long until you fulfill your promises? God, have you forgotten me? Forever. How long will you look the other way? Like, I feel like you're ignoring me. How long must I struggle? I'm tired of the struggle and the anguish that's in my soul and the sorrow in my heart. Every day, I don't get one day without sorrow. I don't get one day without peace. I don't get one day of a breakthrough. How long will my enemy have the upper hand? How long are you going to let these people take advantage of me, God? Turn, he says. Turn, answer me. Because God wasn't answering him. Oh, Lord. My God. You know what happens when you feel as though God has forgotten you? He says, God, restore the sparkle in my eye. He said, God, I've lost that spark. Some of you, you've lost that spark where you used to be so passionate about God, so enthusiastic about worship, so eager to run to church and the altar and pray and read your Bible, but you're saying, God, I've been going through so much anguish and struggle and the enemy and everything, God, that I've lost that sparkle. He was honest with God, and he said, God, I've lost this sparkle that I once had. And if you don't bring it back, God, I'm going to die. Don't let my enemy gloat, saying we've defeated him. Because you know what the devil's saying right now? I've defeated you. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. Because even as a man of God, David had downfalls, and so will you, and so will I. But what got David back, it wasn't that God answered him and said, hey, I'm here, don't worry. Hey, you're not stuck, you're resting. It says, I trust in your unfailing love. You know why God can't abandon you? Because he loves you so much. A love that never fails. And if you can just declare to yourself, God, you love me. And I've had downfalls, but you love me. I will rejoice because you've rescued me. Right now, God can't even love you any more than he does right now. But don't let the enemy convince you that he has forgotten you. So what? You're going through a season of drifting. Maybe you're in a season of resting. The devil calls it stuck. You're not stuck. You're resting. Get that word out of your mouth. A child of God is never stuck. It's always just resting in the eyes of God. You're not stuck. You're resting. And when I'm resting, I'm going to have peace. Why? Because I know that even though I'm resting on this mountaintop, God, on the outside of this box, you're working. Noah couldn't see the water coming down. He just needed the faith that it would. And maybe right now you don't see anything changing. You need the faith that it is. And it will in the name of God, Jesus. Amen. That's why you have to understand how God writes this Bible. Did you guys notice in chapter 8, verse 1? Before the rain, the storm, the water, the drifting, the chaos, chapter 8, verse 1, the very first thing God said, God remembered Noah. Why did he not just put this part last? Because the first thing God wants you to know before you get into a storm and through a season of drifting and even resting is you're on my mind. And I'm faithful. Give him praise for that. God says, I'm faithful. So that means, man, if we can adopt this into our mindset and lifestyle, before you get into that trouble, if you would just declare, God, I'm on your mind, and you're faithful, before the doctor even tells you you have cancer, you can walk in before you get into that office and say, God, I'm on your mind. Before the debt collectors even tell you you're in debt, you can say, God, I'm on your mind. Before that child even runs away from home, you can say, God, I'm on your mind. I'm faithful. And you're asking now, why rest though, Pastor? Why rest? I call it stuck. Because there's a little devil in you, your flesh. How do you ever tell God, I'm stuck? I've said it. I'm stuck. God says, no, you're resting. Can you rest? God, I trust you. God, I trust you. I trust you. Who knows what you need to do to fall asleep nowadays? It's crazy how people can't just rest. Why? Because you're addicted to the movement of God. And in order for you to be happy, God has to be on the move. But there are some times He's not going to let you see it. You're in a box, buddy. You're in a box. You're saying, well, Pastor, why does God have me resting? Why did God allow the box, the ark, to rest on the mountain? Chapter 7, verse 16. Notice something. Then the Lord, what? Closed the door behind them. You see where the faith was? Could you trust God when a door closes? When something you thought would work out didn't? Could we trust God because it was God that closed the door in that ark, not Noah. It was God that closed it. And if God was the one that closed it, only He could be the one to open it. One of the biggest lies, I laugh every time. I don't know who came up with this lie, but I'm about to crush your bubble. Not just pop it, crush it. When God closes a door, what happens next? Another one opens. Tell that to Noah. Is that true? No. You want to know what happens when a door closes? You drift. And maybe if you're blessed, you get stuck. Or resting if you're a Christian. Spiritual resting. But why have we adopted this lie when one door closes, another one opens? Because we're addicted to the movement of God. But God says, no, no, no. When I close the door, I might just cause you to rest and you ain't gonna see nothing open. Maybe, according to the story of Noah, maybe I'll open up a window. That's all Noah had, an open window. So right now you're saying, Pastor, you just ruined 2019. I thought 2019 would be the day, the year of open doors and opportunities. Maybe. Maybe. But could you trust God when He just closes the door and then has you drifting and resting and He's doing nothing? Can you imagine the stress being in that box with His family? trying to separate and put the animals in the right place because the tiger was looking at this animal in the wrong way, and I gotta make sure, I gotta keep my eye on the woodpecker so he doesn't peck holes in my boat, and I gotta take care of the termites, and I gotta do that. The stress! And some scholars say, no, the animals were at rest. No, because noticed that Noah picked up a raven and a dove. They were awake. Days of closed doors and nothing. But God did instruct Noah, build a window. Why? Because sometimes, here's, I got to sit down for this one. I want to talk to you like if you're my children now. All right, ready? Eyes out here. Sometimes you can do nothing but just watch God work. That's why God said, build a window. But it gets crazier. So do you feel the anguish of Noah now? For 100+ years, God was speaking and moving. Build it this way. Use this wood. Put tar on this. Screw this nail. Hammer that plank. Yeah, build it. Build it. And God is just talking to him. And then when he gets in the ark, the door closes. He's like silent. 378 days of resting. Some, you know what? Right now, you're in that season you can do nothing about what you're going through. And maybe that's exactly what God wants you to do. Nothing. Just open that window, your eyes, and just watch what I do. Speaking of that window, Noah made a bad call. I'm going to tell you. Because we know that our eyes are like the window that we see. That's why God told him, build a window because I want you to see some stuff. So Noah, he grabs Mr. Raven and says, Raven, I need you now. Show me if things have changed. Show me if I'm going to get out of this box. I can't handle this box anymore. Seven days later, where's the raven? They never came back. Why? Ravens in the Bible represents flesh. The raven did not come back because that whole world was filled with lifeless people floating and plenty of things for him to eat. See, the first thing Noah did through his window was the flesh. And maybe you're here right now and you're saying, I have a choice to make. Am I going to watch things through my flesh? Or am I going to watch things through my spirit? So Noah then grabs the dove. And the dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And he says, okay, dove, I'll try you now. Why? Because some of you are making that mistake. You rely first on your flesh and it disappoints you. And then you're going to give the Holy Spirit a chance and let Him guide. So then He lets go of the dove. And the dove comes back with nothing. So it was that dove's way of saying, not yet. Not yet. Could you trust God when He tells you? Not yet. Because let me tell you what would have happened if Noah grew impatient and would have tried to open that door. The water would have come rushing in and would have killed him and ruined everything God was planning. So the reason God closes a door is because he sees what's ahead and he's trying to protect you. So when God closes a door, it's not for you to cry about it and question God about it. It's a time to say, Lord, I don't know why, but thank you because you see something I don't. And the dove comes back. This time he has a little leaf. He spits the leaf down. He looks at Noah. And he says, he didn't say it, but he implied it. Almost. Because some of you, you're in that time God says, not yet. Not ready. And maybe you're in that place that God says, almost. And he lets it out a third time. Doesn't come back. God said, Noah, God spoke to Noah and said, Noah, now leave this ark. Where you're at right now is not forever. You may be in that place where God is saying right now, not yet. You're not ready. Maybe you're in that place that God is saying, almost, but not now. But there will come a day that God is going to look at you for being faithful in that season of rest and nothingness and drifting and wondering. There will come a time that God opens the door and says, now! Because doors will open for this church. But right now, we're just in the season of rest. Could you handle it and stay in the ark with me? Because I intend to. And for you in your life, God says, the time will come where I will open doors that no man can shut. But right now, you need to rest and know He hasn't forgotten you. Chapter 8, verse 14. 2 more months went by. I love this part. At last. Man, that season's gonna come where you're gonna look back at everything you went through. Everything you drifted through, every season the devil said you're stuck. And one day, out of your very mouth on this earth, you're gonna say, last. Maybe you won't see it on earth, but you'll die and be in the presence of God's glory in heaven, and you're gonna say, at last. At last, come on, say it with me. At last. So here are the three seasons God puts you in. Season of drift, where he says, not now. The season of rest that he says, almost, but not yet. And then there's the season in chapter 9, verse 1. That he says, God blessed Noah and his sons and told them, be fruitful, multiply. You go through the season of drifting to a season of being just in rest, but there will come a season of blessing and multiplication. When God opens the door for you. If the door hasn't opened yet, maybe you're almost there. maybe you gotta wait. While you wait, trust in God, knowing you're on His mind. He's faithful, and He hasn't forgotten you. Can we all stand to pray today? If you're here this morning, we're going to start this new year a little different. If you're here this morning, and I opened up with a question. If you call for fellowship your home church, I want you to come to this altar this morning. Come on. If this is your church that you feel God has placed you in, we're going to pray together as a church. Come on now. It's okay if you're not up here. You're still family to me. If you're here this morning, you're saying, Pastor, I'm resting. I feel stuck, but I know it's rest. You come up to this altar. If you feel like you're drifting and God is doing nothing in your life, God bless you. Something's about to open. You just got to wait it out. So before I pray for you, I want to pray for our church. Can we do that? We don't pray for our church enough. Let's pray together. You grab that hand of that person next to you to remind you, you're not alone in this church. This is family. Lord, I first want to thank you for our box, our church. And inside this box, there are animals. There's struggle. There's confusion. There's sin. There's downfalls. There's addiction. There's pain. Father, I know and I thank you that you've given me this box to pastor. But I'm not doing it alone. Noah was not alone. He had his family. And I thank you for the family I have in this season of rest. Lord, I can remember seasons of movement, seasons when you were talking directly to me, where you were doing miracle upon miracle and provisions upon provision. But God, it feels like you closed the door on us, and it feels as though now we are stuck. But I declare we are at rest, and at rest we will be. We will wait because you see what we don't. And we will not see with eyes of flesh, but eyes of the Spirit. And we will trust you. And when we are ready, whether we're almost there or not, Father, I will wait on you. I will wait on you to open the door that only you can open. And I pray that when that door finally opens, that you would bless us, multiply us, and make us fruitful. But thank you that as we drifted and as we rested, you were faithful and had us on mind. So now I declare that we will wait upon you for the doors to open, because you haven't forgotten us. And I pray, Father, for every person in this church that personally, maybe they're drifting, wondering what you're going to do next. For those who feel stuck, as though you're not speaking, you're not moving. It doesn't mean you're not working, though. The Holy Spirit, I ask that you give them peace in their rest. Give them peace when nothing is happening. Give them peace when they have no answer. Give them peace when doors are closed. Give them peace that surpasses all understanding as you work out your plan and destiny for them. Will you wait on the Lord now, church? And trust Him. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Give God a shout of praise today. Amen. And amen. You guys can have a seat now. I want to thank you for being here today. It's a good year, isn't it? I believe that God is going to open doors for you. I can't tell you when, I can't tell you how, but I can tell you it will happen. You just have to rest. And I know that you will never see the story of Noah the same again. We get so caught up in the 40 days of rain. The 40 days of rain was nothing compared to the 378 days of nothing. That's where the faith was. The point that God wants you to get this morning, if you got nothing out of this message, He hasn't forgotten you. Thank you, Lord.